It's Cofield and Company.
What are the expectations for LeBron in L.A. now that he has Anthony Davis?
Well, I think their expectation is for him to deliver a championship. Back from the days of George Mikan to Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy to Shaq and Kobe to Kobe himself without Shaq. Every single marquee who has ever worn the purple and gold has delivered a championship.
Here's Steve Cofield.
Dang, we're not messing around. Big trade over the weekend, and Stephen A. comes right out demanding a championship. So I won't say wall-to-wall coverage of the big trade over the weekend, but lots of Lakers get AD talk after a very, very busy weekend. Adam Candy is in. Chrissy's here. It's Steve Cofield. Big week on the way, but let's get it started.
It's time for The Three. Presented by Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
We start off in Toronto, where did you see some of the video clips?
That I did.
Of the parade?
Yep.
How cool was that?
1.5 million people. How awesome for Toronto to turn out the way that it did. I'm so blown away by what it means to that city, and still so blown away by going back to the Kawhi trade and how this all worked out for Toronto. Truly. Just an unbelievable thing, the way this worked out for that city, because this could have gone so far the other direction. Kawhi could have re-injured the thigh. The whole thing could have blown up. DeMar DeRozan's gone. You get nothing, and you are on the other side of the spectrum entirely.
Yeah, your new coach sucks. You fired the coach of the year. This GM's a moron. Now he's got probably 10 teams that would pay him $7 to $10 million a year if he wants to leave Ujiri, as long as he gets out of the whatever his fracas was with the police.
Yeah, the more you read about that, the more you feel like Masai Ujiri is probably in the right on this thing. And the $10 million offer that came out, what, 2 minutes after the Raptors had won the championship? I was thinking about you when that happened, because you had put out that question of, do you want a Game 7 or do you want the soap opera to start? And guess what, man? You pretty much got both. You got an awesome Game 6, and the soap opera started right after.
So the parade was awesome. Like Adam said, estimates of like 1.5-2 million people. Toronto's such a good sports town. Canadians are such good sports fans. They're super passionate. They're all getting behind the Raptors. The numbers for the ratings, like anyone who was worried about the NBA, because there are a lot of people kind of, you know, laying in the weeds, always looking to take down the NBA. I can't figure out why. Something unique about the league versus other leagues, but they're always, especially hockey folks, are always looking to bang on ratings. And, you know, in the U.S., the ratings weren't what they've been in the past, but obviously they weren't factoring in what was going on in Toronto. Game 6, going back to last week, was Canada's most watched NBA game ever. 20.5 million viewers in Canada alone, which is incredible, because you're looking at numbers, you know, when the NBA does well here, it'll be 18, 19, 20, 21 million. So 20 in Canada alone watched all or part of the NBA Finals. So if they hadn't opened up Canada already to NBA basketball, this should push it over the finish line. But here's a misnomer. It was already open. It was already open. And it's funny. I think a lot of Americans don't realize how many freaking awesome Canadian players there are in the NBA. Like, what a feeder it's been. Put aside Anthony Bennett, that one didn't work out. But there are great players all over the NBA from Canada, and more on the way.
And as a New York Knicks fan still getting over the Zion thing, RJ Barrett is at the top of that list for me right now.
Yeah.
Number 3 draft pick most likely coming up this week in the NBA draft. Just another on that list of great Canadians. And I think some of that, Steve, goes back to the Vancouver Grizzlies, right? That thing flopped so badly. Steve Francis never wanted to go. The biggest star you're banking on after that is what? Big Country? Like, the Vancouver experiment flopping so badly, I think, kind of gave Canadian basketball a bad name for a while.
We got a big signing. Big for me. I don't think it's going to get the same coverage that the RJ Hampton signing in the Australian League got about 3 weeks ago. Now, I understand why R.J. Hampton got so many people irked, especially the big defenders of college basketball, because he's a dude who could have reclassified this year. It was a 2020, and he decided to pass on college basketball. He had flirted with a bunch of schools. He was down to a Final Three. I think it was, what, Memphis and Kansas and Texas Tech, if I'm right. So that was a big deal for college basketball, folks. LaMelo Ball has now signed in the same league. I actually think it's a bigger deal, but I don't think it's going to get the coverage because we already know that he was planning on skipping college. So that angle, like all the college basketball wackos, aren't going to get all worked up. You're looking at me with a strange look.
You're thinking that something involving the balls is going to be undercovered.
I think you might be right. We'll see what kind of coverage it gets the rest of the day.
Okay.
And tomorrow. I guess LeVar will generate coverage, but I actually think it's more significant because, boy, Hampton is really good. We'll see what he turns out to be, but I still think LaMelo is a top five pick. So if you've seen him lately, he's actually as tall or a little taller than Lonzo, and he can actually shoot. So I think he's going to be a megastar in the NBA, but I know how people are now with Lonzo. They've given up on him, which is ridiculous. He's been dinged up
the
first 2 years. Now we're going to get into his new spot with the Pelicans because he's on the move. But and also people have, you know, there's a tinge of, hey, these guys are frauds because Lonzo's been hurt and LiAngelo never turned out and then got himself in trouble in China and he's probably never going to play in the NBA. LaMelo was always the best prospect, or at least the same level prospect as Lonzo.
Think about something like Venus and Serena Williams, where Venus came up and everybody thought Venus was as good as it gets, and Richard Williams the whole time was saying, wait till my second daughter gets here. Wait till you see what Serena can do. Sometimes it is the second, the third, the one that comes up behind that ends up making the real impact in the long run. Look, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this ends up working out. But I think everything involving the balls comes with an air of skepticism because of LeVar. And I guess to some degree because Lonzo can't shoot. But he can do a lot of other things very well in the NBA. And I think that with the balls, because of LeVar's bravado, everything is going to be guilty until proven innocent.
So the deal is done. Remember how depressed people were a couple of weeks ago about the Lakers? And, you know, we were all getting sort of knee-deep, really freaking throat-deep in the negativity around the Lakers because all the drama. Magic walking away. And we're wondering, who's going to steer the ship? Clearly, the beginning of it is Clutch, Rich Paul, and LeBron. And I think behind the scenes, it's still Clutch, Rich Paul, and LeBron on who's going to be the third wheel if they get a third wheel, and then the chance to attract more players beyond that. We'll get to how they can build a roster, but hey, Anthony Davis said he wanted to go to the Knicks or the Lakers, and the Lakers get the deal done on Saturday. Where were you on Saturday when it came down?
Where was I on Saturday when it came
3:27 Pacific.
Oh, man, why do you want me to remember something that happened 2 days ago? I'm just trying to remember what I had for lunch, man. No, I remember. I saw it kind of like up on the TV. I went into my usual Knicks fan mode of like, yep, there's another one gone. And then I thought,
what do you think your chances were?
25% at best.
Really?
And that's just picking a number out of thin air. As soon as the Lakers got the four, you had to feel like, okay, if they want to get this done,
really,
they can.
Interesting, because Colin Cowherd, our buddy over on Fox 1340 and 98 NFM, made sure, I think it was the day after the draft or the day after the draft, to point out that the difference between the three and the four was massive.
Oh, I don't agree
that the Knicks had such a better shot and could offer a much better package than the Lakers could. And I thought the entire time when that first deal was offered, and by the way, in that first deal that the Pelicans turned down, and it was Dell Demps, the GM at the time, and then the old lady who owns, old lady Benson, who owns the Pelicans, mm-hmm. was apparently all pissed off. So Dell Demps goes bye-bye, and then she says, basically, over my dead body, are they going to get Anthony Davis? And now David Griffin's in there, so he made a little more sense of it. But that first offer, I think, actually included Zubats, too. So they had offered more to Dell Demps, and he turned it down.
Well,
Maybe not the extra picks at the time.
Think about it this way. I mean, you can trade out the extra picks. Zach Lowe had a fantastic article on ESPN.com today about the entire trade, all of the ramifications, and he went back to that offer, and he said, remember that Kyle Kuzma was in that deal.
Ooh, Kuzma
was in that deal in the first one.
And
there
both
was
Lonzo,
one less pick.
And both Lonzo.
And
Ingram.
And Ingram. Oh. They were all in that deal. Now, it had one less pick, didn't have the pick swaps. And we'll get to that later in terms of the actual deal itself and the structure of it all. But in the end, do you want that extra pick down the line? Do you want Kuzma? I mean, I think ultimately the Pelicans got a better deal by waiting. when they had even less leverage after AD had sat out. And they had that leverage because of Magic. Because of the Magic situation, and everybody in LA had to find a way to feel better about this. Because realistically, Steve, could you see a situation where the AD trade doesn't get done? They keep the four, they draft someone who needs 2 years to develop, and now you have the noise coming from the Rich Paul clutch LeBron camp of LeBron's not happy with the way things are going in LA. 2 months into the season, now you've got LeBron trade rumors, and now the whole thing's blowing up. We're not talking about anything like that right now. We're talking about what's the third superstar going to be? Who's the third superstar coming to the Lakers? The narrative is completely changed at an extremely high cost.
So it sounds like you would suggest that the Lakers traded away too much to get Anthony Davis?
I'm not suggesting. I'm telling you straight out. The Lakers traded way too much for Anthony Davis, but they had locked themselves into the situation with LeBron. Once LeBron signs for 4 years, the die is cast. You are now in for whatever you are supposed to do to build around LeBron, because that's what you've told your fans, whether it's right or wrong. Now, LeBron is going to be 35 in the middle of this season. He is coming off an injury that his personal trainer said should have kept him out for 6 months to his groin. He is based on his explosiveness. He is based on his legs. That's everything about what LeBron is. So now you've had to make the commitment. You had to go all in. You have mortgaged your entire future. They have pick swaps that go 6 years down the line from this. You could have AD long gone off a contract that he signs now, LeBron way up in the mansion, and you are swapping picks with New Orleans when you might have a top five pick. Now, they can't think about 6 years from now when you sign LeBron, but to me, all the players, all the talent, everything they gave up, they have now pushed their chips entirely into the center of the table. They don't have the rest of the roster built around LeBron quite yet, and I don't know that they're going to be able to. I don't see the overall wisdom in this because they gave up more than they offered in the first place.
Wow. Candy doesn't like the deal. All right, your reaction, 364-1100, 364-1100. Did the Lakers get built in this deal? And he's saying they got a better deal because they got picks in the future over Kyle Kuzma, which I think is a little different than most people have been saying. But to your chance on the phones, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, what kind of team can they build around him? And more importantly, did they actually make a bad deal here with all the assets they gave up? 364-1100.
The Three is brought to you by Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a three-hour open bar with $5 food. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
Bust it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, the big deal is in over the weekend, Saturday afternoon. Can't imagine anyone missed it now. Lakers, first big shoe to drop in this, what I think will be a crazy NBA offseason. Anthony Davis from the Pelicans to the Lakers. Lakers basically trade everyone on the roster except Kyle Kuzma. Bunch of picks as well. Adam Candy doesn't like the deal for the Lakers. They've gone all in on old man LeBron. And maybe they've mortgaged the future. 364-1100, 364-1100. I assume there are a lot of Lakers fans who like the deal. Who else doesn't like it? And try to convince Candy as to why this is a good deal, why it wasn't terrible to trade away the entire team. Restate your case again.
Yes, sir. Lakers gave up too much in the Anthony Davis deal, and I'm going to give them this. Once they committed 4 years to a 34-year-old LeBron, they didn't have much of a choice. That doesn't mean you have to reach into the cupboard and do an arm sweep into the basket and give everything to David Griffin. Because what was his leverage that was left with Anthony Davis at this point? The trade didn't get done during the season. Anthony Davis sat out most of the rest of the regular season for New Orleans. He wore the That's All Folks shirt. He told everybody, I'm out. He told everybody he was going. I have no trouble with Anthony Davis. He is an unqualified top five NBA superstar in his prime. Here's part of the problem I have with this deal, and this came straight from Chad Lowe earlier today. He talked about how do things work out, whether this trade gets done in July 6th when Woj has reported it's going to get done versus July 30th. If it gets done July 6th, as Woj says it will, then the Lakers aren't going to have max cap space to bring in someone else. They're not going to have money for Kawhi. They're not going to have money for Kemba. So if you don't have max cap space, who is it you bring in that's the number three player around LeBron and Anthony Davis? Because you need that third player.
Right, but can't they just agree in principle and then not sign a deal until... That's
not what New Orleans appears to be pushing for right now. New Orleans wants the deal done. And New Orleans has the hammer on this whole thing in the long run. Hmm. So we talked about Kyle Kuzma being part of the deal, right? That would be different to me if the Pelicans were trying to win right now. I think Kyle Kuzma would be worth more than that pick if the Pelicans cared about winning right now. They're not going to be awful. When you throw Zion in there and you throw in the players they just got, including Lonzo, who I think we both think is a much better player than he gets credit for.
He's going to be a good player on that team. I mean, being able to run up and down the floor with Zion and throw him alley-oops.
It's going to be awesome. That's going to be
perfect,
fun to watch.
Perfect for his game. And they've got good players surrounding him with Drew Holiday. Maybe they'll bring back Julius Randle. I'm not sure how much money he's going to command, but certainly they have room now money-wise. And Brandon Ingram still can be a very good player. We saw him in stints last year play like a freaking monster. So I do like what the Pelicans got out of the deal.
So the final tally here. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, the number four this year. If it's a top eight pick, this is weird. The protections actually go to New Orleans in this. If it's a top eight pick for New Orleans in 2021, which is a little sketchy when you consider what LeBron and AD are going to bring, then it would be New Orleans' pick. It goes to unprotected in 2022. 2 years down the line with LeBron, two more years on the odometer with LeBron. That's before we get into the 2023 pick. The pick swaps.
So the last down the line. 2022 would be LeBron's last year.
That would be the last year that they have him under contract currently. Yeah. And so you're looking at swap in 23 and unprotected in 24, which could easily be a top five pick, and a pick swap again in 25. You could be looking at giving up multiple top five or top 10 picks if you're the Lakers down the line. This has to work right here and now. This year, it has to work right here, or the Lakers have sold out the next 10 years of their franchise.
Wow. Warner is up on Cofield & Company. What's up, buddy?
Afternoon, guys. Looking at the pick, it's good for the Lakers right now, but I'm a Pelicans fan, born and raised in New Orleans, and right now it looks great, but it looks good on paper so far. We don't know what those picks are going to be, what kind of talent we're going to get at those picks. It all depends on how the records go out, how everything plays out. But for the Lakers, it's gold. Because if LeBron only plays four or five more years and he retires, the Lakers still have their guy. AD's already said he wants to re-sign with L.A. He wants to go to L.A. He wants to have that next chapter in his career. And I don't blame him. But the Lakers are already set because once LeBron's gone, you still got a guy who's going to be in his mid-30s, still a solid basketball player, and you can always bring an extra piece to build around him.
All right, Warner. Candy's pitching that, what, LeBron will be done after this contract? He moves on?
Does it matter if LeBron's done after this contract? Because what are the odds that LeBron, at the end of this contract, is the LeBron we've been looking
at? Well, he won't be. But if they have a 29-year-old Anthony Davis, they've got LeBron looking to play until he's 40, you know, whatever. At that point, he'll be, what, 37, 38, 39? If they have those two to build around, you don't think they're going to be able to draw other players? And what if they do get that third player? What if they get a third player who's in his prime? What if it's Kawhi or Kemba Walker or Klay Thompson or Jimmy Butler?
What if? What if they do?
Well, but it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. They had no choice but to start somewhere. They did it at the cost of being able to have the assets to bring in that third person. They're going to have to find cap space that they don't have right now to bring in a third max player. And they're not going to have the picks to bring in young talent. Now, of course, if you have LeBron and AD, you're thinking you're picking 20 and below for a long time. And I get it from Warner's perspective that you don't want to become the Danny Ainge Celtics, where you hoard assets like old baseball cards and just wait for the value to go through the roof before you actually do something with them, and then they burn up in a fire and you never get anything out of the deal. I get that from that perspective. But how do the Lakers put the rest of the puzzle together? Because Harden and Paul are still in Houston. I'm not convinced the Warriors are anywhere close to done. I don't think the path is nearly as wide open as it's been portrayed about the Thompson and Durant injuries.
Right now, you can bet, well, I haven't checked the odds today, but over the weekend, you could bet no Lakers championship for the next 2 years. It's a 2-year bet. No Lakers championship, minus 180. Would you bet that?
Accepting the fact that I don't want to have to tie my money up for 2 years? Yeah. Just based on the number? Absolutely I would. The Lakers are not winning a championship in the next 2 years.
Really? No. Look at you with the guarantee.
Lakers are not winning a championship in the next 2 years.
What happens if they get the third big wheel and then they've got some veterans who want to come in on cheaper deals? Now, here's the risk with the Lakers. Rich Paul and LeBron and Clutch, you know, it's the, they're repping, LeBron is it, but they're repping Anthony Davis. So they had an inside track on that one. Now what you've got to trust is the fact that they can put together a roster of 5, 6, 7 more players with this management team. Like, is Rich Paul and Clutch and LeBron in charge? Or are we now leaning on Rob Pelinka? That's where, like, I'm not as down on the deal as you are, and I do think they can win a championship in the next couple of years, but that's a small price to me to say, hey, they're not going to win the championship because, by the way, the East still has some really good teams. We'll see what happens with the Raptors if Kawhi moves on. There's still good teams in the West that can add and will add people. So this is not going to be an easy path, even if they have a big three in L.A. The other interesting one is if you're going to put up the Lakers at 3-1 for the title this year, you need to offer the no.
Of course you do.
You need to offer the no. And
but they get hammered on that.
It should be minus 400. It should be, you know, nothing beyond like minus 450. They should offer it.
They'll get crushed on that.
Well, so, you know what? Circa started offering college football national title odds with both sides. So you can bet the no on Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama. And they're all around, well, at least in the case of Clemson and Alabama, it's like, you know, 350 to 400. Now, that's a super aggressive book trying to make a mark.
That's exactly it.
So I wonder if anyone else is going to offer the no. My God, I said last week when they put up the odds and they had the Knicks at 15-1 to win the title, I said on Friday, I was like, can we get the no on this? At that time?
At
can you imagine
max.
At the time?
At the max.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. At the Bayside Tigers with Zach and Kelly Kapowski. Give me the max. All the max on that. Oh, okay. You brought up the Knicks and you got me fired up.
Save it up. Yeah. On the way back, we're going to go out to New York, CBS National. He's a Knicks fan. Did pre and post for the Knicks as Candy starts pacing around the studio. We're going to try to hook up with Brandon Tierney here on Cofield & Company.
Cofield & Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas. Live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield & Company.
Rolling on here on a Monday afternoon. Anthony Davis headed west, not headed east. We'll grade the deal and also talk about what's going on in Knicks land, former pre and post for the Knicks, and doing national now with CBS Radio. Brandon Tierney's up with Candy and Cofield. What's up, man?
Big Steve. What's happening, buddy? How are you, man?
I'm excited. This is a slow time of year, but we got an Anthony Davis trade to talk about. So before we get to the Knicks and New York reaction, I want you to tell folks what you said on the air today. I'm sure they listened to you. But if they didn't, what do you think of this deal?
Well, I mean, you're almost evaluating it from a couple of different places. You know, from the Lakers' point of view, based on the horrendous construction of the roster before the move, you know, meaning what they did a year ago, they put themselves in this position, really, Steve, where they have to go for it. I mean, you know, you're staring at a real finite window to LeBron's prime, and you've got to try to maximize that. I think anything else is irresponsible. Otherwise, what in the hell did you even acquire LeBron James for? So there's that point of view. Lakers had to do it, and we knew that they'd be uber aggressive in trying to do it and, you know, use the relationships they have. And it worked. From the Pelicans' point of view, it's a home run, man. I mean, he doesn't want to be there. You collect a boatload of assets, desirable assets. You know, listen, you can – I think there's varying degrees of grades to the actual bodies that they got back. I mean, I'm just not a Lonzo guy. I'm just not. You know, it's one thing if you come into the NBA and you're shooting 32 or 33%, you know, figure things out. You know, maybe you trend toward 37, 38, and you're functional. But if you come into the NBA and you're shooting 23%, you know, even if you have incremental progress, it's going to take years to get to 30. And if you're a guard and you can't shoot, I don't really see where the real value is. So I'm not a Lonzo guy. I like Ingram. But I do think there's a lot of players like Brandon Ingram around the NBA. It kind of seems like a little bit of a more modern Rudy Gay, which is not to say he's not good, but I don't see him as a real franchise alterer.
you know, what this equates to is getting rid of a guy who wanted out and getting, you know, draft equity, which if you select the right people or then trade those off for other desirable pieces, you've got a chance to really reshape the franchise and quickly move on from the AD era. So I think the Pelicans, they hired a smart guy in David Griffin. We knew that they would recover nicely from this. You knew that they had to trade him. All in all, I get what the Lakers did. I love what the Pelicans did. There we go.
I like what you said about getting a lot for Anthony Davis, knowing he didn't want to be there, because you think back, you know, when these scenarios unfold, when a player says, hey, it's this place or that place or bust, those are the only spots I'll go to, your leverage goes way down. I mean, think back to when the Knicks got Carmelo Anthony, right? They didn't give up a ton going the other way.
Yeah. Well, you know, you cut out there for a sec. I just want to make sure I heard you talked about what the Knicks did with Carmelo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is what franchises who ultimately know how to get back to the proper side of the road, like the Lakers. You know, there's a reason why they win championships. And then there's the Knicks. I know we'll get to them with Durant. Then there's the Knicks, who I think up until recently have always acted out of impulse and petulance and desperation, trying to change the narrative, and they're just flinging at a board, hoping it sticks. So, you know, listen, you got Carmelo when he was still at his absolute prime, but I don't think it was the real prudent play. So I think it was a very measured move. Listen, Griffin knew. I mean, if LeBron's 25, it's a different conversation.
Right.
Is, you know, almost mid-30s, really, and has played a million minutes, and he's got a couple of years to go in his contract. You know, the Lakers are desperate, because if they don't get Anthony Davis, they probably realize, I'm talking about the Lakers now, that LeBron's going to demand a trade. And after this horrendous PR summer between Magic and Pelinka and Genie and all the other nonsense that's gone on, they had to save face. So Pelicans did what smart people do. They take advantage of the week and they pray, you know, unlike the Knicks years ago, was your reference.
Brandon Tierney's with us, CBS National. So could this actually turn out to be a positive to you? Is this a positive sign that the Knicks didn't freak out, give up six assets? There's lots of other people to go after. Is this actually a positive they didn't get AD?
You know, in a weird way, Steve, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but in a weird way, I think it is. It finally shows, a grip on reality. And the reality in the modern NBA is that it's very fluid. And, you know, you and I grew up basically the same age. When you were on a team in the 80s, you were on a team in the 80s. Yeah. And that usually the 90s with a few, you know, rare exceptions like Charles Barkley going to the Suns. But, you know, Ewing was a lifeline. I don't count the nonsense at the end with Seattle and Orlando. But Ewing was a Knick. You know, Karl Malone and John Stockton were Utah Jazz. You know, you played for the duration, the bulk of your career with the team that drafted you. So, you know, I think what happens now is there's a real recalibration on the business side and how teams view their ability to transform their roster. So, next year's free agency is horrendous. I mean, depending upon what Kevin Durant does, I know we'll get to KD a little bit more thoroughly, I'm sure. But at least the Knicks are beginning to adopt the modern mentality, and that is to understand that it's a player-driven league, and every year, seemingly, there's going to be a superstar who's unhappy. And if you maintain a fluid roster with financial flexibility, you draft, you develop, and you just don't give away assets to try to, you know, fix it via the Band-Aid like the Knicks and so many others have done for years, you've got a chance to really truncate the rebuild. So I think the Knicks are in pretty good. Listen, Steve Mills has been there forever, so I'm going to put Steve aside. But Scott Perry's a good basketball man. He was, you know, with Joe Dumars when they built the team with not the Bad Boys team, but the second installment of the Pistons champions when they won it in 04. They almost won it in seven games the next year with Larry Brown. They had a terrific team. Rip, Chauncey, you know, Big Ben Wallace. I mean, Scott Perry was there. Look at the Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic are pretty talented, you know, and Scott Perry did a lot of that drafting. He was only with Sacramento for a minute, but, you know, Sacramento, trending in the right direction. These are all tangible things on his resume. He's a respected guy, and the NBA is all about relationships. And the Knicks finally have somebody
who's well-respected and not desperate, not so desperate to change the narrative that reality gets thrown out the window. I think the Knicks are in a pretty good space. Now, this changes everything, man. When that Achilles rolled up, as it did for Kevin Durant the other night, everything changed. And this will be the ultimate test because the Knicks were selling. This is the summer that we go from irrelevant to dominant. And I believe Kevin Durant was coming. Now, we'll never know. Yeah, I mean, I guess he could still come. You know, I think the Knicks need to reevaluate this personally. If I'm running the Knicks, I don't know that I'm so quick to give him, even though he's a shooter and he's 7 feet, so he can shoot over you rather than having to rely on burst to go around you like somebody like John Wall, who has a similar injury. Good luck with that, Wizards, giving him $40 million a year. But I think the Knicks are finally in a position to do it the right way. Mostly organic, and then add to it once you have the skeleton of a good roster.
Talking to Brandon Tierney from CBS, and my question goes back to that idea you mentioned at the beginning of what you're talking about with just how fluid things are in the NBA. And you talked about the Achilles with Durant, the ACL with Clay, because this time last offseason, we were talking about, should anyone even really try to build something, or do they need to just wait for the Warriors to break up the dynasty? And here we are in June 2019 talking about how the league's wide open. Anybody can win this thing. It's just amazing to me how fast this thing can change. So now you talk about the situation for Kevin Durant. What do you think if you're Kevin Durant right now? Because you know you're sitting out a year. And what do you think Kevin is going through his mind right now? How do you think it changes the free agency from his perspective?
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. And it's what I said on my show with Tiki today. Now, I ruptured my Achilles. Again, it sounds like a no, I'm not comparing myself to Kevin Durant. But I do realize, not even remotely, to be clear. although Steve knows, I could shoot a little bit.
You can play.
Yeah, a little bit. Not anymore. We're getting old. Yeah. But I do realize the arduous nature and what it entails and how restrictive that area. Like, it's really hard to verbalize it. But it's, you know, it's the longest tendon in your body. It goes from the back of your heel bone, that bone, all the way up to your high calf. And that thing rolls up like a lampshade. You're in trouble, man. And, what happens is it takes a long time to just physically repair it. Then you've got to learn to trust the repair, like any injury. But unlike I also had Tommy John surgery when I was in college with baseball. And that's kind of a one-off. Nah, not that it can't happen again, sure. But I wasn't walking. To this day, I don't walk around saying, oh, God, I hope I don't blow out my other elbow, because it's just not practical. But when you blow out your Achilles, when you have a full rupture, as I did and Kevin does, there's this terror that permeates your mind. And it's like, Jesus, man, that rehab was so daunting. God forbid if it happens again. Like, it really does affect your mental state. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm not going anywhere, man. I'm staying put, and I'm gonna opt in for $31.5 million. And by the way, the Warriors will offer him the max. They will, just like they'll offer Clay. Bob Myers has said as much already. But if I'm Kevin, and why would I go to New York or L.A. to the Clippers, right, where there's all these expectations, and especially for the Knicks, where there's just like these, like, remember the old movie Cujo from the early 80s, that horror movie with the dog who gets babies? Okay. That's what we look like as Knicks fans. We're foaming at the mouth, thinking about to be great, just to merely be relevant. So why in the world would you thrust yourself into that situation when you're helpless? You're utterly helpless. Listen, guys, it's not like, there's a few variables and we've seen guys come back in 6 months. You're out for a year. I don't give a damn who you are. You're not playing basketball for a year. Book it. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how tall, how short, what position. It doesn't matter. You're not playing for a year. So if I'm him, I'm staying put. I'm going to go into the new arena. I have built-in equity. Number one, I'm a two-time Finals MVP, but also additional equity with the fans. They know that I really put my future on the line, and I try to will myself back when I was compromised. And I know the medical team. I'm familiar with them. They know my body. Can you imagine trying to rehab this thing with a bunch of people you never met? And oh yeah, by the way, every day on the radio being dissected, when is KD coming back?
most people don't, and I know that this sounds, and I'm not talking down to people, but this is the reality of the Achilles injury. Most everybody knows it's heinous. Everybody knows it sucks. But nobody, unless you had it, really knows just how long you are on ice for. So Knicks fans can conceptualize and say, well, as a medical premise, oh, I know it's a tough injury. But after a couple of months and they're 9-17, they're like, hey, I want the guy that we give $40 million to. When is he going to play?
Right.
Well, he's not playing because he's got a ruptured Achilles. He ain't playing this year. So he should stay put. We have, if he wants to stay in Golden State, sign for 5 years, take the max, whatever it is. And if you want to re-enter the market next year when you're healthy, maybe even come back and play a few games at the end of May. Maybe instead of 360 days, it's 319. I don't know. Maybe he gets back for round two. There is that variable. But he's not playing in the regular season. And I believe that's the prudent move. It would preserve, it would shield him from an unrealistic expectation medically from an injury that it just knocks the hell out of you. It just does.
We got about a minute left, Brandon. It sounds like if you were running the Knicks, you would not offer Kevin Durant the max.
I would not, and I really wasn't sure. I let this marinate for a couple of days, Steve. I wouldn't. You know, if he was 26 or 27, I do think it's a little bit of a different conversation. Now, by the way, Dominique did his at 32, and Dominique was a high riser. Dominique's the one guy who came back and was somewhat of a, at least a fair replication of what he used to be. Durant's going to come back and be an all-star. I just don't know that he's going to be one of the top two or three players in the game, so as he is now, and maybe number one when he's right. Actually, I would submit that he is number one. But what I do is, I take Barrett number three or Morant if he's there. Mitchell Robinson. I keep Dennis Smith. You got to get rid of Moutier. You got to put 12 pounds of ass on Kevin Knox and get him physically right. And I keep trotting out these young kids. And, it was an astute trade with the Mavericks for KP. You get other draft assets. The Knicks are lined up to do something they haven't really done ever. At least this century. And that's to be viable for a long time. I can't compromise it now, as tempting as it might be.
You need to give your guy Stephen A. a call and tell him to calm down a little bit.
I do. I text him all the time. He's out of his mind. I love him. He's crazy. He's his own man. We know that. He's going to listen. But that crazy voice in his own head. Yeah, I know what he's saying. I hear you.
All right, Brandon, we appreciate the time, and belated happy Father's Day.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks a lot, buddy. I know it's, the miles are far and the years are piled up, but every time we talk, we can reminisce. We had certainly some wild times and absolutely some awesome times. So happy to join you, brother. You know that.
See ya. Bye-bye. There you go. Brandon Tierney. With nice stuff to say at the end. Good thing the cell phone was cracking out there. No one heard it, right? Chrissy was like, dump, 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 dump. We don't need to hear this.
I heard the wild times. That's the only thing that really registered for me.
So what do you think? Are the Knicks set up well for the future? Can you calm down? Can obviously, Stephen A.'s brand is not to calm down, but he laid it out there. You don't have to freaking hit the home run this offseason.
He just also talked about how free agency next year is a wasteland. If you are the New York Knicks and you believe you're the New York Knicks and that people want to come to you, if you have the ability to get the number two player in the NBA, who maybe becomes at worst, the number four or five player in the NBA if he doesn't come back perfectly, if you have a chance to get him, you get him. That's it.
Really? You're offering the max. Adam Candy, GM, Knicks, max.
So think about it this way. If you're going to offer him a four-year deal, five-year deal, whatever it is that you want to max him out at, you're basically saying there's 1 year in there that I don't want to pay you for. So the money that you have to pay him for next season is essentially money that you get around the cap, right? If you could give Kevin Durant a $30 million bonus, if you could slide it under the table to him and say, don't worry, Jim Dolan never has to know about this, you'd do it. If that would get him to come to New York, and that's what the injury payment essentially is. You're just handing him some money to say, you know what? We know we're the Knicks. We know we suck. We know that nobody wants to come here right now, but you're Kevin Durant, and you're going to make us into something that is the destination that we always thought we were. That's why you give him the money. You take the chance because you're the New York Knicks, and you have no choice but to take the chance.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada. Live from the Finley Toyota studios, it's Cofield and Company.
There is another offseason, NHL, and we had a big move today, right out of the gates. Actually, before the gates. Erik Karlsson. It's interesting. I swear I saw a lot of San Jose media people. Adam Candy's here. Chrissy's here. It's Cofield. I saw a lot of San Jose media people saying that, well, it was done. It was a good run, but yeah, he doesn't want to be here. Money change all of that?
I'm not sure Erik Karlsson had really put his cards on the table very much. I think the San Jose media was kind of reacting to the fact that Erik Karlsson played everything very close to his vest. He wasn't one of those guys who went out there and was effusive about coming to San Jose. And after what he went through in Ottawa, why would he? Erik Karlsson had every right to take a wait-and-see approach and figure out what was going to come next. And look, he got the deal that he felt like he deserved. Same money as Drew Doughty, 8 years. He's going to be valued as the number one defenseman in the NHL. He might not be the number one guy, but he's among the top three or four without question. And now San Jose answers a lot of questions. There is a lot of cap situation for them to figure out.
I was going
to
say.
But you have your guy that you're building around.
It actually sets up a lot of questions because now they have free agents like Joe Thornton, who, you know, is not going to take a lot of money, but he might be done. Pavelski, Donskoy, restricted guys, you know, some of their future guys, especially Timo Meier. How do they keep all these dudes?
I think the Timo Meier question is really ultimately the question they have to answer. Donskoy is not a guy that I'm worried about. If you're going to say, can they afford to get rid of that guy to keep Erik Karlsson long-term? Okay. But you can't lose Timo Meier. Anyone who's watched the last two series against the Golden Knights the last 2 years has seen that Timo Meier consistently over every game of the series might have been the best skater on the ice for San Jose from game to game. Very little break in his game. And, of course, in Game 6, he made quite an impact on the Golden Knights at the end of the game. So that's the guy that I think this brings up a real question about ultimately for San Jose.
Do you have any bold predictions for what the offseason is going to look like with the Knights? We talked to Brian Blessing, who's awesome on hockey, and he was saying, don't be shocked if one of your favorite names goes bye-bye, because he believes Gusev's going to be a top-six guy. So someone may have to go. Is that too much?
Whether or not Gusev becomes a top six guy, the interesting thing about the Golden Knights is you come into this offseason in such a different cap situation. You really are, as Brian talked about, you really are going to start bumping up against the cap if you're the Golden Knights because of all the contract extensions you've handed out, right?
Now, do you hate the Stone deal? I know you didn't love it at the time.
I didn't love committing the contract immediately. I have no problem with Mark Stone. With Mark Stone at the time. Oh, look, my question was, do you commit the money before you see the fit?
Right.
There is zero question about what the fit was for the Golden Knights. I think, ultimately, for the Golden Knights, if you do not come out of this offseason with a top-four defenseman, you have failed the offseason test. Because that's what this team, ultimately, that's the big piece this team is lacking. Look what San Jose just gave Karlsson. Look what John Karlsson meant to Washington in the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago. Look what Alex Pietrangelo meant to the St. Louis Blues this year in the Stanley Cup Finals. You need that number one guy. And right now, as constructed, unless you're going to say Shea Theodore takes a big step up next year, I don't see where it is for the Golden Knights where you have that two-way defenseman on the order of the guys we're talking about.
I want to talk about the fight on the way back. The fight over the weekend here in town was heavyweight Tyson Fury, who's got quite the background, and it turned into a kind of a weird post-fight in the ring and also during the press conference.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.